Brody was dreaming of Bethlehem, that first time with Jessica. They were in high school. She, a sophomore, he, a junior on the football team. He was a jock. Never a choice about that. Because the son of Marine Chief Warrant Officer O2, Marion Brody, a.k.a. Gunner Brody, was going to damn well be a tough-as-a-mother son-of-a-bitch jock, or he'd beat the shit out of the little knobhead prick until he was. They would meet outside the Brew, on the corner of Broad and Main, the trees draped with lights for Christmas, the snowy streets toward Woolworths crowding up with people, everyone waiting for the lighting of the big electric Christmas star on South Mountain that could be seen across the Lehigh Valley. Jessica was the prettiest girl in school, the prettiest girl he had ever seen. But it was more than that. There was something about her. He wasn't sure what it was. He didn't even know how to explain it or express it to himself, because she wasn't a slut or anything like that. Willing to explore. Curious. Willing. That was the word. He knew she liked him, and somehow he knew that it was more than sex. Although all they'd ever done was kiss. She really liked to kiss, closing her eyes and sticking out her chest just that little bit that made you want to grab her breasts. But he didn't. He held back, knowing somehow that although she wanted him to touch them, it was part of whatever high school Catholic girl thing it was for her that he not be like the other boys. So he waited. But that wasn't the willing part. What he sensed was that she was the kind of crazy girl that if she loved you enough, she would drive off a cliff in a car with you, which was something he thought about. A lot. Because there was one thing he knew above everything else in the world. Surer than God, surer than money, surer than anything. He'd have to leave home as soon as he could. Because either he'd kill Gunner Brody, or Gunner Brody would kill him. And then he saw her crunching through the dirt-webbed snow on Broad Street with her friends Emma and Olivia. She wore a red scarf, her cheeks rosy with the December cold, everyone's breath coming out in clouds, and the girls started grinning and nudging each other when they saw him and Mike. Yeah, Mike was there. His best friend, Mike Faber, had always been there. Since the day the Brody family had moved into the upper half of a duplex on Gerp Street. They had come to Bethlehem from California when he was 7, because his father had gotten a job at the steel mill. Gunner Brody, apparently being the last man in the state of Pennsylvania, who didn't know that it was only a matter of another year or two before the plant closed and those jobs were gone forever. Except ex-Marine lifer Marion Brody didn't have that many choices after an official inquiry into the accidental death of an 18-year-old private at the Air Ground Combat Center in 29 Palms, California, involving an M224 mortar, revealed Gunner Brody with a blood alcohol level of 0.29. The finding put the Corps in the questionable position of either a highly visible court-martial of a Marine Chief Warrant Officer with a chestful of medals, or the Marine Gunner's early honorable discharge, but without the full pension he'd been banking on. So they had moved from the Mojave Desert, where Nick had been born, to Pennsylvania. But if nothing else, Marines know reconnaissance. From the minute they moved in, it took Gunner Brody less than 12 minutes to scope out the liquor store on the corner of Gerp and Linden. An hour later, Mike found Nick Brody squatting under the wooden stairs in the backyard of the duplex, his nose broken, lips split, ribs aching, and said,
"I'm Mike. I live across the street. You want to come over, man? I got a Nintendo. You play Super Mario Brothers?"
Nick Brody looked at him like he was from another planet.
"Your lip's bleeding,"
Mike said.
"I fell." "Sure,"
Mike nodded.